Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bloody awesome. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are in the world, and welcome to the Bloody Awesome Movie Podcast. My name is Matt Hudson from whatiwatchtonight.co.uk, and joining me from across the pond as ever, I'm not Irish, but he is my lucky charm. It's John Burke from BurkeReviews.com. How are you, sir?
I am doing very well. I'm glad I didn't accidentally go into a very bad Irish accent in response
I wish
to that.
You did.
But oh, it would have been terrible. Probably offensive levels of bad accents. So, happy St. Patrick's Day in the past tense.
Yep. Yeah. We've just been, the nation of Ireland, and I made a very conscious effort not to say I'm from England and I'm the Irish because tensions, but up top like I usually would. Yes, but yeah, St. Patrick's Day has been and gone now, and for those who celebrate, it seems to be a big old party, whether it's in Ireland or over there in Boston or wherever else, all around the world seems to celebrate it. And when we get to it, tonight's film is a unintentional tip of the cap to... off with a cap to the Emerald Isle over there. But how are you anyway, my friend? How is Florida? Are you keeping it safe and well?
Yeah, you know, doing okay. We actually had corned beef and cabbage on St. Patrick's Day.
Nice.
We're big fans of corned beef and cabbage in this house. Like, we eat it not on St. Patrick's Day also. Like, it's not just the St. Patrick's Day thing, but yeah. We go an extra mile on St. Patrick's Day to make sure that we have it. And my wife... we had to go to like urgent care, not emergency room, but like urgent care is like a walk-in clinic kind of thing, because she was having some pain in her hip, and so that like it delayed the starting of, you know, cooking, which it's a row, so it takes some time. So I was like, maybe we just delay it, we'll do it another day. And she's like, no, we both were like, well, let's check corned beef in the air fryer. And Matt, I have to find something the air fryer can't do well. Like
I agree.
Came out so good in there. And then normally we would boil the potatoes with the cabbage too. And she's like, it'll slow down the cabbage. So I cut up the potatoes and made like roasted potatoes in the oven with a little garlic parmesan. And let's just say everyone was very happy with dinner on St. Patrick's Day. So, you know, food and holidays always go hand in hand. And that might be my favorite holiday food at this point, like, because, you know, my family doesn't like turkey, so Thanksgiving is always kind of like a weird what are we gonna have kind of thing, even though I like turkey. Everyone else is kind of like, nah, it's always dry. I'm like, it's just because it's not cooked right. But and then the other holidays, you know, the food's fine, but like I love corned beef and cabbage, and if it's done right, I don't know, if I might be doing it wrong, like someone from Ireland might be like, this is terrible, but for us it's done right, and it's real good. So so that, you know, that's a positive, I guess, is what I'm saying. So positive thing that's been happening. It was cool today too, which was not too bad. So
I had no idea that you were so into the idea of St. Patrick's Day, my friend. I had a headache for St. Patrick's Day, so nothing changes there, but that wasn't because of too many Guinnesses. Do you ever get this thing where you finally get a real good sleep, like you sleep for quite a long time, but you wake up and then you have a headache because your body's almost telling you that, well, you didn't get quite enough sleep, you didn't get an extra half an hour. I'm a bit of a night owl, so I go to bed late, wake up early, and then complain that I'm tired the next day. So on Saturday I was like, no, I'm going to go to bed at a decent time, go to sleep, sorry, so I can wake up on Sunday on what was a kind of a day off for me. I didn't have anything to do, wake up feeling good. So I had about 10 hours sleep maybe, and I woke up with the worst headache in the world for the first three quarters of my day. And I was like, my body is against me for some reason. But it did eventually go, and I did get to at least see people St. Patrick's Day from their social media. But no, I don't often, I mean, I don't know if celebrate is the right word. I don't often, well, I don't indulge in St. Patrick's Day, not for any reason, but I like the idea of it, and I like the idea of having like Irish food, and I very much would like to have some Irish food on St. Patrick's Day next year. But I liked your meal when I wasn't even there. It just sounds good, and I'm with you. It's not much an air fryer can't do. I was a bit basic today. I just stuck some ham, some burgers in there. But man, do they taste better coming out of that air fryer. I always thought it was a myth. And again, guys, this isn't the Bloody Awesome Food Podcast, but we do like our food here. I thought it was a myth how good those damn things are. But and I've been looking on YouTube, man, and I watch food videos as almost like a comfort thing. When I can't find anything else to watch on YouTube and the recommender's letting me down, I'll go and watch the recipe for the most moist blueberry cake I've ever seen. I'm never going to make it, but I like watching them. But then I go down a rabbit hole and I find air fryer donuts and things like that. And that's when I start to realize, man, you need to go to the gym, because you're now actually just watching other people make and eat donuts. I think I have a problem. But I will live vicariously through you in terms of the delicious sounding food, my friend. So it's probably best we move on from food, because I will get hungry. I've just eaten, but I do need something sweet after this, my friend. I've got a cup of tea. We know that. John, before we start, are you caffeinated up? Do you have a beverage for tonight's film?
I have an energy drink that I probably shouldn't be drinking, but I'm sleepy. So
I feel that. I mean, after tonight's film, I did fancy getting on the Irish whiskey, maybe to erase the memory of it. We'll see. Tonight, well, if you're new to the Bloody Awesome Podcast, let's get the spiel done. If you're new to the show, welcome. Each week we review either the big blockbuster or the big film of the week. We will review a streaming film, or sometimes we will just review whatever is out. And I feel like this week we kind of went down that ladder because in the next few weeks we've got a pretty stacked lineup. But this week there wasn't really an awful lot going on. And of course we can kind of reveal, there's nothing to reveal, but we both saw films this week, which we'll talk about later, that the other one didn't get a chance to see for whatever reason, which would have been bigger. But we are going to cover those in the week, or at least one of them next week. So this week, we settled on Irish Wish. So this is a Netflix film, which let's get to the tail of the tape. Ooh, here we go. So the director of Irish Wish is Janine Damian. And it stars, this is the pool, it stars Lindsay Lohan. Lindsay Lohan is the star of this film as Maddie Kelly. And it also stars Ed Spielers, Alexander Flejos, Ayesha Curry, Elizabeth Tan, Jacinta Mulcahy, Jane Seymour, Matthew McCabe, and many, many more actors and actresses. And we don't do spoilers on this show, but we do read a synopsis, which could have a spoiler in, who knows. The synopsis is, when the love of her life gets engaged to her best friend, Maddie puts her feelings aside to be a bridesmaid at their wedding in Ireland. Until a spontaneous wish for true love causes her to wake up as the bride-to-be. It's a rom-com, for everybody who wants to know. John is a massive fan of rom-coms. I've enjoyed rom-coms, but my biggest thing with rom-com is the same as my biggest thing with a slasher film, or is the biggest thing with a Marvel or a Star Wars, or an Alien film, is that I like them. You know, if you play to formula too much, they can be a bit stale. So, was Irish Wish going to be the outlier here? Well, on Rotten Tomatoes, the critics have this as a 34% rated movie. The audience loves a rom-com, 46% audience score. And it continues with Metascore 52, IMDb 5.3 out of 10, and Letterboxd 2.2 out of 5. And once again, this film is available on Netflix only. It's a Netflix original. It's an hour and 33 minutes long with credits. And it could probably be best described as a nice date film at the weekend. It's got that kind of vibe to it. Now, I will give my thoughts. I was just reading that description, and it does almost seem a stretch that this had to be set in Ireland. It just felt like they just wanted to make a film in Ireland. So how can we do it? Well, I don't know. Make the main guy Irish, even though the main guy is Welsh. In reality, they didn't even cast an Irishman in the lead role. Alexander Vlahos as Paul Kennedy is the apple of every woman's eye in this film. It's one of those kind of films where women, they're falling over themselves for this guy. And all he's got to do is rock up and everybody wants a piece of Paul Kennedy because they say Paul Kennedy about 1,000 times.
They do say his name a lot. Yeah.
They really do, don't they? So as you probably guessed, guys, I thought this film was absolute tripe. Oh man, what did we watch last week? Imaginary. See, this film though is different from Imaginary, where I called that vapid and banal and bland. This film is just sick, like, as in sickly sweet. It's saccharine. It almost makes me want to stop talking about films though, but it is wholly harmless is what I took from it. Is it great? No. Do I kind of feel like the film under director and everybody involved knows that? Yes. And they just go along with it. It is a by numbers rom-com where as soon as it starts going and we start meeting the characters in the first 10 minutes, you know where the film's going, you know how it's going to end, and it does. It ends just like you thought it would. And sometimes those films can be cuddly. I love a coming-of-age story where I say it in most of my reviews, you know what's going to happen, but it's how you get there. It's the destination, isn't it, rather than the journey. And it's a similar thing with rom-coms. You kind of know what's going to happen most of the time. Guy gets girl, girl gets guy. It's how you get to that makes a film. And this one is just so very by numbers, but the intro title card set me up for the tone of the movie. It's just got this kind of Irish music I think it's got the cliffs of my, and it just has the words Irish Wish floating towards a screen like a Hallmark film or an old TV drama or a slot machine on an online gambling operator. It really gave me that kind of vibes. I will admit, JB, I swore quite a few times watching this. I watched this at home. Of course, it's a streaming film. And there was a few things, like the guys and girls were saying something, and I would just be like, oh, just off. Just get off. Just get out of here. It's the dialogue, man, and some of the things. Do you believe in fates? I can't be happy without you. I hope you haven't told anyone about my feelings for him, Mum. It's like, how do we get to this? There's a guy in this film, this British beefcake played by Ed Spielers. He plays a character called James. He's a cameraman, and he is the Hallmark guy where he just happens to be in the right place at the right time and somehow has a connection to the other main guy in the film, and then it all goes from there. And you know, it's what you've seen before, but
they don't, right? Like, they never actually explain what his beef with the guy is, right? Like, did I miss it?
There's no beef. I mean, this isn't a spoiler. Paul Kennedy is an author, and Maddie Lindsay Lohan is his editor, and then we find out maybe more going through. Yeah. But whereas James is a guy that Maddie meets at the airport, she tries to take his case thinking it's his, and then lo and behold, they meet on the bus 10 minutes later and have to sit next to each other. It's that kind of film, guys. And for no apparent reason, on the bus, Maddie's copy of Paul Kennedy's new book falls out of her bag, and this guy James picks it up, looks at it, and he's like, oh, that yours? Pretty much. And he's like, yeah, I don't like that guy's books, they're terrible, badly written. And that's kind of, so his beef is just, he just doesn't like the guy's writing. He doesn't like his books.
It feels like they're setting up, there's going to be like a reveal that maybe they have a history, or that maybe it was his brother or something. And there's nothing.
He doesn't like his book. And it continues throughout. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, and I've said this about so many films, but Ireland is the Emerald Isle, as it's known, is a stunning country, is a beautiful country. Yeah. And they film this in the most, like, rural parts of Ireland. They're not in Dublin here. They are in the rural parts of villages. And Graham Robbins, who was a cinematographer, he really, really, really captured the feel and the look and the majesty of Ireland from the beginning. It's very hard, I think, to look at this film and think, oh, that doesn't look great. That's awful. Or they haven't captured this natural beauty, because they really, really did. And I kind of think that's what they knew they had. Let's film it in Ireland. We know it looks great. We can set it in these gorgeous locations and people can fall in love with that. The Irish Tourism Board will also be very pleased as well. But what does Ed say about the story, John? Nothing, because it is what you think it is. The characters are everything you think they are. The ending, Jesus Christ, the ending. Wow, God, that's one of the times I swore. There is a moment where two characters embrace, and it kind of goes to slow motion, like Zack Snyder slow motion. Then there's cameras panning around and the music swelling. And oh, God. And you get the classic, where is he? You've just missed him, but if you catch him, you'll get him. And I was just like, please end. Please, I can't be doing this anymore. But it's, you know, it is what it is. I do think it would be a fun film if you've had a few Irish whiskies and you're there with your date, your wife, your husband, partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, friend. You could watch it and have some fun with it. And there are people out there who genuinely will like this. And I respect that because this isn't like Imaginary, which was offensive almost to my eyes. This is wholly harmless. You know, it's entirely inoffensive. It is just doing what a standard rom-com does. It hits the beats. It will make a lot of people smile. And it's got a re-emerging star in the lead. So did I like this film? Absolutely not. But I'm not going to not recommend it because I think it serves its purpose out there for a lot of people. John, is this where you say I'm wrong? And actually, as a rom-com fan, this is a classic?
No, not at all. I will say I'm a little upset at you for leaving out the star of this movie. One that I am always excited to see in any picture, and that is Guinness.
Guinness.
You didn't, but man, when they sure this could be a good commercial for Guinness. She's not a fan of Guinness, but then becomes a fan of Guinness, and I totally buy it. I love Guinness. It is legitimately my favorite beer. I like stouts in general, to be fair. Like, I will, if I'm at a bar that has a stout that I've never had and it's getting tried, like, that's my, if I'm drinking, I don't drink that often, mind you, but if I'm having a beer, I do prefer a stout over anything else, especially at this point, because I'm only going to have one, you know, and it's like
on the Guinness, John. Do you remember that really the gorgeous place at the beginning, like, Loch Tay, where the wishing chair is, and you know, they're on those boats? That's a real place. Do you know what that's called?
No,
it's called Loch Tay, but its colloquial name is the Guinness Lake. Why?
Oh.
Because the it's owned by Arthur Guinness. It's part of the former Guinness estate, and they imported white sand and laid it over a beach, so it made it look like a pint of Guinness.
Oh man!
So continuing that Guinness thing, Loch Tay at the beginning is on the Guinness River, Guinness Lake.
And I've yet to leave this country, so I've never been overseas. Ireland is my, like, kind of number one destination. I've always wanted to visit Ireland. I am part Irish. It is, you know, like, yeah, 1/8 or something like that. So it's just something I've always been interested in visiting. And there was a movie as a kid that I'm not thinking of what it is now that I really, like, it really made me interested in Ireland. Hudson Hawk made me interested in Italy, but...
It wasn't the Banshees of Inisherin, was it, last year?
I mean, that didn't hurt, obviously. There's so many movies set in Ireland, too, that make Ireland awesome. I mean, we have Sing Street, you have Once, you have Belfast, which, you know, obviously sometimes the depiction of Ireland is a little scary, depending on what you're looking at. Like Kneecap, I just saw at South By. There's a lot of violence in that version of it. So, but nevertheless, no, the movie is, there's a lot of people making this comparison, but it very much feels like a streaming Hallmark movie, right? Like, it is, and I am one who has seen way too many of those, thanks to my wife's love of the Hallmark Christmas films. And I say that, except Lindsay Lohan's good. Like, I enjoy watching her on screen. She has it's a very performative quality, the way she delivers dialogue. You can hear traces of her Mean Girl deliveries and stuff in this movie. The writing's nowhere near as good as what Tina Fey wrote, obviously, but like the way she reads lines, she's stepping into her actor role. And there is a reason we loved her as a kid. You know, she's talented, she's entertaining. And so that holds up here. And I got to say, I didn't like Alexander, but we're not really supposed to like him because he's kind of treats her like crap. Yeah. But I did like Ed Spielers as James. Like, again, super vanilla leading man. But I like vanilla. You know what I'm saying? Like, vanilla is a good flavor. You put some vanilla in my coffee, I'm not going to say no thank you. Like, I don't necessarily need it. There's better flavors out there. But it's not one that you're going to spit out. And that's, you know, probably sounds way more offensive. Ed, if you're listening, I'm so sorry if I just said I would spit you out. But, or I guess I said I wouldn't spit you out, which is still intentionally good. I, like, the thing is, there are some weird decisions in this. Because I don't know if I read the synopsis. And obviously the word wish is in the title. I didn't know we were going to get an arbitrary, like, mythical figure granting her a wish that would sporadically show up throughout the film for no apparent reason. And I still don't understand exactly why the wish needed to, like, mess with her mom. I didn't get
why was her mom there?
Yeah. Well, she wasn't there, sir. Well, she exactly. wasn't there.
Just don't include her.
Yeah. Like, she's getting, like, beat up for no reason. Yeah. I'm like, lady, even if she shows up, why would it matter? Like, it doesn't make any sense because the wish has already happened. She can't stop the wish. Is Jane Seymour not, poor Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman's getting beat up. Yeah, that whole, the whole wish thing, I would have rather it just been she wished and it happened versus it wished. And then there's like a pesky, she's not a leprechaun, but it definitely has leprechaun-esque vibes, right? Like she's mischievous and she's Irish. So like those two things, I'm like, but I thought there were some decent scenes. I thought the whole bar scene where they get trapped in the rain was fine. Like, it's, again, it's not an incredible like rom-com scene, but it's like, oh, okay, I can work with this. I can enjoy this. And yeah, like, I wanted them to be together. Now, where I don't, this isn't a spoiler, listeners, but anytime there's a wish movie, you can kind of guess at some point something's going to be undone.
Yes.
When that happens in this movie, there is a cinematic foul where it is like the laziest piece of filmmaking imaginable because it's all done in the edit. It's something that I've seen high school kids do because I taught high school film, and I'm okay with a high school film student who has a limited amount of time using this very cheap tactic. But for a Netflix movie to do it, I'm like, oh, no. You can't just reverse the footage, guys. Like, you can't do that. It's cheesy.
They reverse quite a lot of it as well.
It's so long. It's so much. And I'm like,
I was,
hey guys,
worried it's the whole film.
Yeah, we get it. We understand. Like, that's like the amount of times, especially now when you've watched so many movies and you watch a filmmaker cut back to something that we already saw in a way that's like, oh, you're not revealing new information. You're literally, you don't trust your audience to have remembered or noticed the close up you already showed us. And so to like, we get that there was a wish. We understand. You literally made it very clear in this movie with the character doing it, which is so dumb. But then to like have to show us that it's being undone, it's like, no, we get it. We get that it's being undone. Like, if you bring back Jim Carrey, like actually just rewinding himself, like in Ace Ventura, when he like rewind and he just, you know, moves backwards, at least that's funny and the actor's doing something. But to just take literally clips from earlier and use probably Final Cut Pro to flip it,
yep,
that's ridiculous. Like, that's
yeah, the editing
hour.
Throughout was terrible, especially in those first 10 minutes or so. That was my first note. I did make a note for this, guys. It just says that editing is awful. Yeah, I hear you, and that was very noticeable. The reverse shot, it did feel like it was going to be the entire film at one point, and I was slightly worried.
Yeah, and we haven't done a Netflix movie for a minute, if I'm remembering correctly. I feel like it's been that's wrong. We did Zack Snyder's, and we're going to be doing the second part for Rebel Moon here soon. But you know, during the pandemic, we only could do streaming movies for a while.
And it wasn't all bad.
No, it wasn't. But the rom-coms, it's a genre that has been basically pushed out of theaters, right? Minus we've gotten a couple the last couple of years, but still nowhere near the quantity that we used to. It's an untapped resource for that. And what's happening is they're making them in mass on streaming and on TV, and they're doing them like cookie cutter, like real hardcore.
The same as comedy, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a shame because there's plenty of room, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with cookie cutter, but it needs to at least feel well made or well constructed or well intentioned. And like, that's this movie, it's like, well, what's really the point? Like, because I don't know if I never really buy her and Paul. I immediately buy the chemistry between her and James, like from the get go. It's like, why don't you see it, character? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, their push pull, meet cute, is bad. It's just like, it's like, I don't believe that he would be such a jerk about it. And it's kind of funny that she missed, because I just came back from the airport a few days earlier.
And someone tried to take your luggage.
No, but that is a paranoia that everyone has because everyone's bag kind of looks the same, you know? So I have a stormtrooper tag on mine. Good man. So that I can easily, that's me. There's a stormtrooper. What are the odds that there's another stormtrooper thing? Really pretty high, I would imagine. Star Wars is pretty popular. But I figured stormtrooper, you know, less likely. Like, I also have Vader and Kylo Ren. But yeah, I went with the stormtrooper because, again, I feel like that's going to be the least picked one. It's actually the New Order stormtrooper. So, First Order. My Star Wars credit is.
Don't try and tell me you don't remember those films, John.
I've blocked out one of them as much as possible. Irish Wish. Also, forgettable name, mind you. I have forgotten the name like four times. And even the font selection on the poster just looks so slapped together. I would criticize the poster, but let's be real. Hollywood's getting lazy with their posters too. Yeah, so like a streaming service right is like, whatever.
Yeah. The meet cute is, I mean, listen, I'm not going to go on about this, but if I knew all it took was go to the pub, play darts, and then just have a quick dance, and you meet your forever after, what the hell have I been doing for the last few years? Because that is all it takes in this film. You play darts, which is the least romantic sport ever, or activity, go and sit in a rowdy pub and drink in a stout, and that is all it takes. And look, everyone, hey, look, that will work for some people out there, but the way that the film frames it is, and that, oh, it's something, and that is literally all it takes. Yeah, they have the interactions before, and it's kind of a little bit passive aggressive, but other than that, it's just, let's go and do this, and then it leads into this, and then, you know, nobody seems to question anything the next day, apart from Mud. It's like you said, I agree, Cookie Cutter's fine. Some of my favorite films are cookie cutter films, but it is as I said again, how you get from A to B to C. I know how you're gonna what C looks like, but how are you gonna get there? I know you're gonna hit certain beats, but have I been pulled in emotionally? Have they been earned? It's little things like that. The new Alien film is coming out soon. The trailer looks damn good.
Yeah,
but I know what's gonna happen in the film. I think I do anyway. But it's how you're gonna get there. What are you gonna do that's a little bit different from the other Alien films or the other rom com films? But still give me those delicious vibes that I expect almost from a rom-com or say an Alien film. But this is just cookie cutter, and the cutter itself is covered in honey. It's covered in sugar. It's covered in sprinkles. It's covered in candy floss. It is sugary sweet cookie cutter.
I did think it was weird though that Fede Alvarez replaced the face huggers with turkey basters. But that said, Irish Wish. I don't wish I didn't watch it, but I do wish a better movie had dropped this weekend. And you know what? To be fair, we have to at least acknowledge the puppy dog in the room. Arthur the King, I think is what it's called, this weekend. I don't want to watch that. It's nothing against Wahlberg. It's nothing against the dog, but dog movies, there's no way that's not a sad movie. Like the trailer's like, oh, something's wrong with him. I'm like, I can't go into a movie that implies the dog is gonna die, especially in a movie that's going to make me love that dog, you know. Is it possible the dog lives? Yes, but then it'll still be such a like emotional journey that I'm going to be shattered, and I have avoided many dog movies as a result. I have never watched The Dog's Purpose or the sequel to that, whatever that one was called, The Dog's Journey, whatever, because like that whole premise is reincarnation of the dog, which means you're going to see the dog die multiple times. I'm not doing that. Like, it's not in me. If it's your type of movie, cool. But like, we were going to see that. I could not bring myself to go watch it. I almost, even after we picked this movie, I almost still went because I feel like, you know, I have that obligation to like see all the things.
Yep.
But I'm like, man, I don't want to sit through that. And again, I tend to like Wahlberg more than a lot of other people. Like, I often am a fan of his stuff more than many. Like, I don't love everything he's ever done, but I tend to be like, oh, a Mark Wahlberg movie? Like, with optimism versus like, oh, Mark Wahlberg movie. You know what I'm saying? So I go in hopeful. And this one, I just can't. And it's actually got like a 60% on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, it's much higher than this movie. But I still just can't do it.
I struggle. I'm exactly the same, JB, about Mark Wahlberg films. Oh, wait, you're talking about the dog. Ah, damn. I'm very similar with Mark Wahlberg. I just, like, I don't want to watch Mark Wahlberg film, him trekking across the country with a dog being out-acted by a canine. But hey, look, I imagine that film probably would have been a little more rewarding to watch. But look, it was St. Patrick's Day over the weekend, and we honoured our Irish friends by watching a film which encapsulates Ireland in a nutshell, though I would never say that to an Irish person. So I think now I'm gonna, you know, as the host of this week's episode, I would usually give this accolade, at least present it. I'm gonna give it to you because I am bottling this. I am a coward. John, is this bloody awesome or bloody awful?
This one's a tough one for sure. I don't want to say it's bloody awful because it's not quite there, right? It's not truly awful, but it's definitely not awesome.
Bloody decent, bloody. I would say decent. It's bloody meh.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's there. If you're really looking for a rom-com and that you've never seen before, it might scratch that itch a little bit, you know. But it's probably gonna leave you wanting. It's not long, at least. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It moves pretty quick.
Yeah, it's an hour and a half, and yeah, look, I'm not jesting at all. That's my honest opinion. But like John said, and I've said, it's not the worst film you'll ever see. It certainly isn't the best. It is exactly what it is, and it knows what it is, and it plays up to its strengths, shall I call it. So it's genre hallmarks, and hallmark is the key word there. But okay, so we're gonna say bloody meh. I mean, I would err more onto the, I'm not so sure about that caution, but. So we don't keep going on about Irish Wish. If you want to watch it, it's on Netflix. If you don't, there are many other films you can watch on streaming. And that leads us to our next segment, Concessions of a Cinephile. Wow, what a ropey link, you might think. Think again, because this week on Concessions of a Cinephile, which is our loosey-goosey free chat session, we're around the water cooler in the foyer, we've got our popcorn, we're just talking films. This week, our topic is bloody awful streaming movies. So inspired by Irish Wish, it kind of got us thinking, what are some, and this is again, we don't know what, we want to be negative on the show, but we have reviewed some absolute turkeys on this podcast over the 6 years we've been doing this now. So we thought, let's honour some of those turkeys, the bloody awful streaming movies that come to mind. And it is streaming only, guys, you know, so that is, it's in the name. So John, let's kick it off. So, and also, streaming films have always had a bad rap. There are some great streaming films. There are some Academy Award-winning streaming films out there. And I do think that the quality of prestige streaming films, like AAA things, are getting so much better. And that's on Disney Plus, maybe not yet, but Apple TV Plus, HBO Max, whatever. Netflix are getting there as well. Of course, their TV series are incredibly well done and well received. So, but streaming movies still have a long way to go because of what you said earlier on, John. When it comes to certain genres, you can, and horror's one as well, you can throw these out a dime a dozen. You can make them the most generic thing in the world, call it a generic name, and there you go, you've got another streaming movie. Amazon Prime is also a bit of a place for that kind of thing had to happen. So,
well, and
it was tough to find a few, wasn't it? Because there's quite a lot of awful streaming films.
Yeah, and it's important to note, like, with a lot of the really good ones that you mentioned, those do get theatrical ran thing. So it's like, is it still a streamer if it's produced by a streamer but they put it in theaters? Because like Killers of the Flower Moon and
Ferrari was a kind of a streaming film over here, but not Ford v Ferrari either. Roma's another one. The Irishman got
Irishman definitely. It had to get a qualifying run in order to be eligible. Yeah, a
very small one. Some Amazon Prime films as well. Coda. Did Coda get? No, Coda didn't.
I think it was in the exception from COVID because they did like the 2 year run where it didn't have a theatrical release because they wouldn't have had any movies eligible. But that said, so there's a chance that maybe some of these don't qualify the same way, or maybe it was like made for, maybe it had like a festival run and then the streamers picked it up and we didn't know that. But as far as I know, what I picked are streaming exclusives. I hope that's the case. If we're wrong, sorry. We became aware of them because of streamers in some capacity, right? Like, that's the kind of catch.
Oh, yeah. And if it's being picked up by, if it was at a film festival and it's being picked up by a streamer, then it's a streaming film for me. And that isn't always a good sign.
And to me, the correlation is, we grew up in a time, especially for our younger listeners, where movies would get theatrical releases exclusively unless they were either a TV movie or the dreaded straight to DVD, or actually, sorry, straight to VHS, straight to home video releases, which, you know, like most of the Disney sequels, like for the animated stuff, went straight to video, like The Lion King 1.5.
And TV films were very different back in the day. You know, you can look at Killers of the Flower Moon, like you mentioned, as a TV film. This ain't that. The TV films back then were a totally different ballgame. And that's where the whole idea of TV stars or TV movie stars can't be, you know, Hollywood movie stars, because it's chalk and cheese.
While there was always a lot of media being made, it does feel like it's exponentially more now between all of the streaming services, all of the studios. There's so much more content. So the probability of something being bad is just higher because it's being pumped out. It's being mass produced. And while that's not always like a guarantee of anything, and same thing, there are some really good straight to VHS movies. There's been a lot of really good straight to streaming stuff, but I do think that's kind of the correlation that we're going for. These are those movies that in the old days, these would have probably been straight to VHS type stuff, which a couple of these might offend some people, because I know a couple of these are beloved to some. But the first one I'm going to mention is a recent one, Skeletons in the Closet. I reviewed for disappointment. It's a Shudder original, I think, although it may not. I don't know for sure if Shudder produced it or not. So it's one of those things. But it is hands down one of the worst visual effects movies I've ever seen in my life. And I'm comparing it to YouTube videos. Like, it's worse than some YouTube videos I have seen. Wow. The visual effects look like they downloaded an asset from one of the websites and then didn't make much effort to, like, there's a scene where a house is on fire. One of the worst looking things I've ever seen in any movie ever. Like, it's just like, and again, I'm not expecting them to burn a house down, but I am expecting them to at least, like, if you're going to make that a major moment of your film, you got to at least make it look like it's on fire and not like you downloaded a cheap asset and put it into your movie, because that's what it looks like. And it's not like, you might be thinking, oh, well, this is just some movie some kids made. Terrence Howard is the star. Cuba Gooding Jr. is in it. Udo Kier. I forget the actress's name, but she's in stuff too. I wasn't as familiar with her as I am those other people. So it's like, there's big names in this movie. And yes, Cuba Gooding Jr.'s stock is not super high right now. And Terrence Howard's always been kind of up and down.
Yeah.
But you still wouldn't expect this movie from them. Then you get into like other issues with it, with like the plot and the story that aren't great, but just just those visuals, it's like, what is happening? Terrible movie. It's one of the, I ended up giving it a star on Disappointment Media instead of one star. I should have given it half. I didn't realize, I wasn't sure what I was allowed to do, because I've never had something that low for that site. So I didn't, like, I'm just like, I'll go with the star. It deserves half a star. It's real bad. Skeletons in the Closet. Don't watch it, in my opinion. It's not good.
I think you turned me off for the idea of watching that, because it was, I at the beginning of every year, or kind of late into the year before, I will go on to IMDb and all these other websites and see what's coming out, including on streaming, just so I can start, you know, building up what I want to watch this year. And sometimes I'll base it simply because who's in it. Now, you know, Terrence Howard, Cuba Gooding Jr. for me aren't exactly box office draws are going to make me sit down and watch a film. But I was like, hey, look, it could be a good film. I'll put it on anyway. As a streaming film, if it's dispensable, fine. But after hearing what you said about it, I absolutely am not going to go and watch, go and sit down and watch that film. Like, I wish I hadn't sat down and watched the first film I'm going to mention, and that's 2019's Polar. That was on Netflix. Dude, it's, you know, stars Mads Mikkelsen, Vanessa Hudgens, Catherine Winnick. You know, decent cast there. Jonas Åkerlund as well. But, and it's, he directs it, Jonas Åkerlund as well. This is, I hated this film. I really, really did. I was looking at my review of it all those years ago, and it just says, this movie's visual garbage. Sounds like me. The writing's bad, the characters are bad, the messages are bad, sexism is rife and rough. I remember now, this is such a, just a grimy, just, it's a teenage boy's dream. I said it's written by drooling lechers who've finally been let off the parental controls leash. It is, and they wasted Mads Mikkelsen in a role. He could have done really well, but yeah, it's grubby, messy, awful, misogynistic. It's just, yeah, it's incels' wet dream. I just did not like it at all. And I saw the trailer. When I saw the trailer, I thought this could be pretty good. Yeah, the trailer was cut in such a way where it was just another stylized action film, but the Mads Mikkelsen-ness of it all made me think this could be quite good. But yeah, no, this guy, the Black Kaiser, as he's called, he's John Wick on steroids, in the sense that nothing, absolutely. Whereas John Wick, you know, he takes a licking, he takes a beating through his films. This guy, you know, he kind of does, but he takes on armies and armies of people, and none of it's excitingly done. The story's bad. Deadmau5's score is not good at all. The female lead, Rubio Fee, she was one of the worst female characters I've seen ever. And you know, she's been cast for a few reasons and a few reasons only. It's just a nasty, yucky film, which I wish I'd never seen. And part of the reason I watched it as well was because I thought it was Arctic. I think the film was called another Mads Mikkelsen film, which I think may have been more of a survival thriller drama. I think I watched the wrong film, and then I wish I hadn't seen this at all. But yeah, Polar on Netflix. Ugh, not a good film, John.
Yep. And sometimes they are misses. Like we reviewed on this podcast, The Kissing Jesus. Booth 1 and 2. We did not do the whole trilogy. I've managed to never go back to 3.
We literally spoke off air and we cannot put ourselves or each other through another one. Completionist or not, we just couldn't do it.
We've gotten some hate from some of our reviews, but I don't think any as much as The Kissing Booth. Like, people who love that movie. And yep. Five Nights at Freddy's, I think, was the other one we got a lot of backlash for, because people who love it. And we weren't even that harsh on Five Nights at Freddy's, I didn't think, but Kissing Booth, we were harsh on. The first one, we're also talking now Jacob Elordi. Like, in hindsight, you got to, like, holy cow, like, that guy's huge right now, but that's like his breakout. He's not good in that, in my opinion. Maybe the character's writing is not good, but because he is a football player with desire to go to freaking Harvard. Like, there's this whole line. It's just so bad. The first one was rough. The second one's rougher. The second one is like so contrived and so bad. It was brutal. And again, an early sign of the Netflix transitioning to Hallmark rom-com style. So much in that movie. But yeah, I have, again, like you said, we're completionists by nature, even though I say that having many lists started and finished almost none. But those lists are long. This is a 3-movie list. I'd say for the most part, if I've seen 2 movies of a trilogy, I'm going to watch the other one. But I haven't. I say that also having not watched Godfather 3. But you know what? Kissing Booth 3 is definitely Godfather 3 of the trilogy. So I'm just I'm staying away from it. But there you go. Kissing Booth.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even talk about that. Especially when Netflix can drop such a fun trilogy as To All the Boys I've Loved Before. I love that. Mm-hmm. Those films are great. Those films are so charming. They're so much fun. I like the characters. I like the performances in it. And on the flip side, you get The Kissing Booth, and Joey King. We even after all these years, we are still rooting for you. You know, Bullet Train. We're hoping, we're waiting for you to get that role where you just crush it, Joey. And we've always been behind you. We're still there. My next one, JB, is a Prime Video exclusive called Samaritan, Sylvester Stallone superhero film. His return to the genre. And Jesus Christ, this is so dull, it's so grey, it's so vanilla. It's one of those films, I don't know if you ever get this or anybody listening does, but when you think of a film, you almost kind of get this feeling of kind of boredom or dullness in the stomach. I remember watching this film. I remember the day. It was like a real kind of like nothing day. I put it on. It was a grey sky outside. The film was grey. It made me feel grey. Every time I think about this film, I just think about being put in like this like really humdrum situation. And it's just, humdrum is the word. It's just very, very predictable. There's nothing in this film of any note. Sylvester Stallone. Yeah, good old Sylvester Stallone. Hey, he's game for the task, but this is old Sylvester now. It's not Rocky Balboa. He's not the aging icon here. It's full of cheesy one-liners, but it's more in line with the Expendables or the Expend Four Balls in terms of its dialogue. Hey, look, Pilu Asbak's in this film. Guess who he plays? You'll never guess. He's the villain. It's just a very dour, heavily edited superhero film, which is going for more. So I wouldn't say, wait, no, I will actually. It is aiming in that kind of, this is cliche, but the Logan vibe where, you know, it's the old gunslinger's back for one more standoff, but they just cannot. They just don't know what they're doing with this. It's directed by Julius Avery. It's, yeah, not much more to say. It's just a very lackluster, very ho-hum, very by-numbers superhero film, which is just thrown straight to Prime Video. And every time I think of it, it just makes me feel just grey. So, yeah, Samaritan is my next one. What about yourself, JB? Oh, I know this one, yeah.
Yeah, Mute. Everyone who saw Moon and liked Warcraft. You know, like
I didn't know. It's
not, yeah, most people didn't. I played the game though, and it had a lot of like Easter eggs, and I was like, cool, okay, I'm in. But so I was, and then Mute Scott is like, oh, it's Paul Rudd. I'm like, cool, let's do it. Boy, Mute didn't do it. Yeah, that was a movie I think all of us were like super hyped for, and then just completely disappointed by. Did not enjoy Mute, and I think I'm not remembering. It's David Bowie's son. I always forget his name. Duncan Jones. I feel like he might be in director jail after Mute. I don't think he's done anything since. So.
He was very very vocal towards people who didn't like this film, if I remember rightly. Yeah. Which he should have been Mute. Haha. But yeah, this was this, yeah, I remember the film, but I really don't, John. Sam Rockwell, Justin Theroux, Alexander Skarsgård, Paul Rudd. I mean, it's, you know, it's a great lineup of talent there, but I don't remember the film other than really not liking it, really not connecting with it. Messy, tonally all over the place. That's all I remember.
Yep, it did not find its footing at all.
No. So, yeah, I'm with you on that one, JB, and had you not picked it, I probably would have done. You know this film, JB. I'm throwing Cherry on the list. If anything here, guys, I'm just being diverse. I've gone Netflix, I've gone for Amazon Video, Prime Video. Now I'm tracking Apple TV Plus under the bus. The Russo brothers, in their lust and desire to be taken seriously as filmmakers, tried to make a very serious film about addiction, romance, social issues, war, societal failures. And they cast Tom Holland in the lead, which I'm not going to say anything about Tom Holland, because I do think taking a role like this and the Western film he did, I can't remember his name now, on Netflix, really good in that. He's, you know, he's trying to break out of the Spider-Man mold as much as the Russos are trying to break out of the MCU mold. But, and actually, you know, his performance, and maybe Keira Bravo as well, with Jack Rayner, are very decent in the film, but the film itself is all over the place. You know, it aspires to be something, you know, more than it is, but it's in pretty much every aspect it just falls down. It's very poor. But yeah, it's just in an attempt to shift those tones, those messages and those genres, it cannot, just does not work. It doesn't connect, it doesn't vibe, it doesn't jive. It is just a messy, messy film. And the Russos tried too hard, and it failed spectacularly. Cherry was just a miserable watch. And I remember it also being bloody long as well, like far too long. Mm. So yeah, Cherry was a miserable long watch, what I would not recommend.
Yep. And then I think my last one, just for sake of time, One True Loves. I picked this one up for review because Simu Lee was in it, and I really like Simu Lee, and I gotta say, he is the highlight of the movie. but boy, is it not good. And the other thing, I didn't know at the time, but I recently just read The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
Okay.
And when I say read, I mean listen to the audiobook. And I forget the author's name. It's Taylor something. But she's a very popular author right now. That book is, I think, her best, from what I understand. And then the Daisy Jones and the Six, which is an Amazon TV series,
yeah,
is based on a book she wrote. And this movie, One True Loves, was a book she wrote. But boy, is it bad. it feels like a Hallmark movie in a lot of ways. And I hate that we're using – I hate that I'm making Hallmark movie a derogatory term, because obviously there's a large swath of people love those movies. And it's cool that you do. But there is a very kind of generic formula that those tend to do that we don't associate with non-Hallmark movies, right? That's why they're dubbed that. It's become a genre.
You can just tell one from a mile off. It just feels like one, yeah.
Yeah, it's also the look of the film, right? It's the lighting, awesome. It's the cinematography, it's even the product placement. The amount of Folgers coffee in a Hallmark movie is ridiculous.
The amount of sweaters as well and jumpers, man.
Yeah. So I this movie has a very weird plot contrivance that it's one of the reasons why I say it feels that way, because it's nope, that's ridiculous. Why would that be the premise? It's not good. It is a rom-com, which again is one of the reasons I'm like, oh, it's Simu Lee, it's a rom-com, all right. And then I'm like, oh no, Simu, what'd you do? although he's really good in it. There's a scene where he's a music teacher. And he ends up venting to his music class, his high school music class, about his relationship struggles, and it's a hilarious sequence. It's pretty funny, but the rest is very forgettable. I can't believe I remember that scene, to be honest. But it speaks volumes about Simu. I really hope he gets more leading roles, because he's been in a few things, but I think he's in Arthur the King that we didn't review. But he's not the main guy. I'd like to see him get more leading stuff, because he is a very good actor. So far he's been relegated to background characters other than Shang-Chi. But that'll be my last one. Matt, what's the last one for you?
The last one for me, I mean, it rang alarm bells from a million miles off, and surprisingly it was as bad as I thought it'd be. It is He's All That. She's All That. He's All That. So rolling it back to Netflix. Yes, She's All That came out in 1999, and it left a footprint on pop culture. It's Kiss Me by Sixpence None the Richer being one of them, but did we need a flipped version of it in 2021 or two, whenever it came out, 2021? No, especially not one with you've got Rachel Lee Cook, Matthew Lillard, fine, you've got Addison Rae of TikTok fame, you have Kourtney Kardashian of whatever she's famous for, and then a slew of just beautiful people who I've never heard of, which isn't a sign of their talent whatsoever. But this film was very much, it's the most shiny and vapid film I've seen in a long time. It is just, let's get lots of pretty people on screen, and that's really about it. Can they act? Doesn't matter. All they got to do is say the lines, and it's superficial, utterly forgettable. It is, I'm not going to mention the performances because we get it, it could have been a satirical poke at social media stars, a kind of shallow world of influencers and stuff like that against normal life, but it didn't. Instead it just kind of lent into the opposite. It became the very thing it probably thought it was going to destroy. So bad. She's All That, that's okay, but I really didn't like it, and I knew I wouldn't because of who's in it. And I mean no disrespect to Addison Rae, I thought she was very fun in Thanksgiving. In this film, no.
It's a shame too, because that feels like it should be an easy thing to do again, but nope, just fails.
That's it. Get the right people in the right roles and you can create magic sometimes, but not in this instance. So before we move on then, JB, the future of film, not necessarily theatrical, but where do you think we are now for streaming movies? We set up top of this segment that streaming movies have a bad rep, and for the most part, rightly so. But do you think we're getting to a little bit more of a respectable place for streaming movies, or do they still have a way to go?
I think we're seeing a lot of hesitations now because so many of the streaming services are struggling, which were, are, you know, with the exception of Netflix being founded as a streaming service. Mm-hmm. And I guess Hulu is the only even like remotely close one to it. You know, it was owned, I think, even by ABC at the beginning, or at least really early. Most of the other streaming services were more traditional studios, or at least more traditional TV networks that have adapted to the new trend. They are all struggling, but I don't know if that's because they were trying to do what Netflix was doing, which was making way too much content. Because I think Netflix is, we see them slowing down a little bit.
Yes.
So I do think there's going to be a major shift. We've gotten more, like, Apple TV has been very methodical with what they're making. Like, they're not overproducing, and they're putting a lot of investments into big projects.
You could say they're overspending, mind.
They might be overspending, and or maybe allowing too much flexibility with the filmmakers. Obviously, Scorsese's earned whatever people want to let him do. We've seen other filmmakers who maybe get, like, I mean, Zack Snyder is getting a blank check essentially for the Rebel Moon stuff from Netflix.
That has not worked as of yet.
And I don't know if he's earned that, to be fair. Like, the last couple things he did were not well regarded. So it's like, yes, at one point in his career, Zack Snyder was making gold, but he has not been for a while. So I think that's going to be potentially a detriment when we see these big, big budget projects fail or flop. Especially with the streamers. And so we might get more content like Irish Wish, which is, you know, just super basic, vanilla, low budget potential. I don't know how the budget on this might have been really high because they filmed in Ireland. Like, but like that type of movie can be made locally without, you know, you find something beautiful in your area.
Yep.
And you don't have to shell out a bunch of money. You can do it for under $20 million. And as long as you're making that back. Part of that problem, though, is we don't fully understand how streamers make money, and it seems like they don't, and that's part of the problem. Who knows? I think, to be fair to streaming, though, and not make it derogatory, we've always had bad movies coming from some source, right? Like, again, whether it was streaming VHS, I think it's just, it's more abundantly clear because we have the streaming service, right? Like, when you look at what's dropping on Netflix this weekend and you see 25 things coming out and one of them ends up being good, it's noticeable that there's 24 bad things happening. Where when things were going straight to VHS, you had to go out of your way to get the bad one. You know what I'm saying? Like, you were going to a store, you were picking off of a weird shelf instead of the new release shelf. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a whole other process where it's that, again, it's because it's so readily available.
Yeah,
it becomes apparent.
And I mean, I'm just looking at some of the most expensive streaming films of recent years. Obviously, Rebel Moon's up there. You've got The Gray Man, which was over $200 million to make. You've got, Six Underground, Michael Bay film, over $150 million to make. Mulan, Disney Plus, over $200 million. The Tomorrow War, nearly $200 million for Amazon Prime. And then, of course,
was Mulan always going to be a Disney Plus thing, though?
Or now, that is the outlier, because I think it was meant to be theatrical, but they spent $200 million plus on it and said, you know what, let's put it on the smallest screen we can find. And then, of course, there is the infamous Red Notice on Netflix, Gal Gadot, The Rock, Ryan Reynolds, $300 million budget. And you could levy the same with The Irishman. That wasn't everybody's favourite film, but I think The Irishman will be slightly more remembered than Red Notice. But the theme I'm getting there is you can spend all that money, but my biggest problems with streaming films, and I've said when we've spoken about films like Extraction or Peppermint and things like that, there is nothing unique about the films I see on streaming at the minute. All of those films I've mentioned, whether I love them, hate, or didn't love any of them, whether I liked them or hated them, they're all, even like The Gray Man, Gosling, Chris Evans, they're all very vanilla. They don't do anything outside of the box. They're just very safe, very standard films. Obviously, Zack Snyder's Justice League for 300 and something million. That is a different story, mind. But there's nothing I'm seeing with these films that makes me think that streaming films can be a sustainable model. And I know they've been going for a while now, but you put The Gray Man out in cinemas for $200 million, you might make $300 million back if you're lucky, but you're getting some in return on investment. I still can't fathom how streaming films are making lots of money when they're spending $300 million on Red Notice, and then Netflix will come out and say, "Well, guys, 3 billion people watched it over the weekend." No, they didn't. And even if they did, the majority of them already subscribe anyway. So we're, you know, and there's adverts, and I get that, but I just don't see how you can be spending that kind of money. Apple, fine, because Apple seems to have a wealth of money just in the name.
Well, but they also have other sources of revenue for that.
That's what I mean. Right? The name Apple in itself, it lends itself to revenue streams far and above everybody else because of the product, the company.
Same with Amazon.
And it was Amazon, yeah. And Amazon, one of the films of Tomorrow War was on there. Not great, overly priced. Again, all of these studios, though, including this Amazon, they went through a really purple patch, have also released some really great films. Usually, they are those lower budget films, pretty much similar to what they said at the Oscars. I can't remember the dude's name. I'm so sorry for that, if you are listening. But the writer of American Fiction, when he said, "Hollywood, stop making $200 million films, make $10, mm-hmm. $20 million films instead." And I'm with you on that because they are the films that are being recognized. They are the better films for me. And the streaming films, the best ones they do. We mentioned Coda, just low budget. It's good films that, yeah, they might be formulaic, but they're telling you something. There's something a little bit different rather than The Gray Man, The Tomorrow War, Red Notice, Six Underground. It's just meh. You know what I mean? If you're putting that money down, give us something different. And that's my biggest thing with streaming films is, you know, a streaming film from a mile off, because they just have that vernacular. They have that feel to them. And they got to break out of that. I'd love to see Netflix, Prime, Disney, Amazon, Apple, you know, competing and saying, "Look, we can make these big budget films and they'll blow your socks off." But, you know, without that cinematic theatrical experience, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Well, let's move on then, JB, because if we like to do anything, it is talk about film, and we will go off on a tangent, which I love doing. However, time, we want to give you guys the best possible product. Otherwise, we'll start talking about food again in a minute. So let's move on to our next segment, media consumption. And here we talk about the films, TV series, video games, music, podcasts, which aren't ours. Anything we've done to pass the time since our last recording. JB, what you been checking out?
So I haven't seen as many movies as usual, partly one because I just came back from a film festival, and then two, we did record later in the week last week, so less time between things. But I saw Love Lies Bleeding, which you can't see yet. I liked it a lot. There's a couple of things in it where I can see it making someone make or break a movie for them, but it did not break it for me.
Interesting.
It's a really good movie, has a lot of cool cinematography, and all the performances are really good. At the festival, one of my favorite movies was Ghostlight, and the director did Saint Francis, and mm-hmm. also like the star of Saint Francis, who also wrote it, is co-directing Ghostlight. So I had never seen Saint Francis. I bought it just before going to South By, and I didn't get a chance to watch it before I got there. So I was like, well, I need to go back and watch this. And at first I was worried because the movie, it wasn't clicking for me right away. And then by the end of the film, I loved it. So St. Francis is really, really good. Ghostlight, one of my favorite films of South By. And the thing that stinks is the guy filmmakers previous movie or mm-hmm. in between movie was one that I'm not gonna remember what it is, but I didn't like it. I can't think of what it is now. I didn't dislike it. We saw it at Tribeca. I can't remember what it's called now. But it was like the one with the hospital, like it's like a nurse practitioner, like is at a hospital. I think we both saw it. I definitely saw it.
I know exactly what you mean, but I can't remember. Whilst you're talking, I'm gonna have a look at my Tribeca coverage.
Tonally and stylistically completely different than St. Francis and Ghostlight. So, you know, good for him trying something again. I didn't hate it. I just didn't love that movie. I think I gave it maybe 2.5 stars. But last night, I can't say much, but I saw Ghostbusters : Frozen Empire, a name I still don't like. My review is up at Disappointment Media, and editor for Burke Reviews, David, wrote a review for BurkeReviews.com. So if you want to read what he thought, check that out. I won't say my thoughts right now because Matt hasn't seen it yet, and we are going to be talking about it on our next episode of Bloody Awesome Movie Podcast, so I don't want to spoil that conversation. So that's what I've been watching. I've been listening to Blank Check Podcast, as per usual, Big Picture Pod. I haven't listened to the new draft episode yet because I started listening to an audiobook on Spotify, which I'm going to criticize Spotify here in a second, but Cinema Speculation is the Quentin Tarantino book, came out last year. It's kind of his film analysis book, and I don't know why I'm so stunned. I know he's really smart, and I know he's seen a bunch of movies, and he's a really good writer, but in my head, I just associate him with, like, pulp stuff, because all of his movies are super violent, and, like, so hearing him wax intellectual about films, which obviously, again, I know he's really good at, but it is like, you're like, wow, I forget how insightful he is, like how smart he is with his writing. And obviously he has seen everything. Like, he has seen so many movies. Like, it's crazy the amount of films that he has seen. But I'm really enjoying that book. What I'm not enjoying is, I can't quite figure out why. I'm guessing I listen to a lot of music on shuffle, right?
Yep.
So I'm playing the audiobook. It doesn't give me an option to shuffle in the player. Like, it's not like it's on or I could turn it on, but it's shuffling the chapters of Cinema Speculation. And so I didn't notice it because usually I turn an audiobook on and I just let it go. And the nature of the book, it is episodic. So you could go any chapter you want, technically speaking. I don't know how much he maybe references another movie, like, later again kind of thing, but because I've listened to, like, random chapters and without realizing I was listening to random chapters. But it's mostly broken down by movie. It is organized chronologically, but I have not listened to it that way. And so far I've not run into anything where I'm like, oh, I should have first listened to the Dirty Harry chapter before I listened to the Rolling Thunder chapter. I haven't heard that issue, but it's still Spotify. Like, audiobooks should not shuffle. Like, that is insane. No. If I was listening to a chapter book, I would be like a traditional, like, book. I'd be very mad that I, like, because literally the reason I figured out what was happening was the credits came on where it was like, this has been a published. I'm like, there's no way this was 10 hours worth of book. I've only listened to like 2 hours. And then I'm like, oh no, it's been shuffling everything.
JP was talking to me about this. He was sending me films and little synopsis of what was happening. And then, because I asked him, I said, oh, is it chronological then? Is it following movie release dates? And he said, yeah. I think he said, no, it's not. And then realized very quickly, it's been shuffling, and actually is.
Yeah, but yes, it is. And I have listened to everything but the order that it's supposed to be in. But yeah, it's very... I'm enjoying the audiobook otherwise, but I've never used Spotify to listen to an audiobook until this, and my first experience, not a good one. So again, I'm glad it's this book and not one that it requires me to follow the normal structure of a book left to right, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But because I do feel like you could kind of jump into the way he wrote it, seems like if you want to read the chapter on this movie, you can just read the chapter on that movie. And so I lucked out, but still very frustrated. I will say though, like, I've never seen Rolling Thunder, and now I really want to, even though, like, I think it's a movie that's going to be upsetting. But listening to him talk about it, he does spoil the movies that he's talking about. Cause he's analyzing one. He's both starting like 71, I think, is the first movie. And it goes to like the 90s. So he's assuming that you've seen it, but it's like Tarantino. I'm pretty sure a lot of people haven't seen all of these movies. Like, Dirty Harry's one, again, I actually have never watched. But that one, I think a lot of people have watched. Where, like, Rolling Thunder, the way it's introduced me is not one that I think is the mainstream, everyone's seen it kind of thing. But yeah, so I've been listening to that. And then, lastly, WWE 2K24. I didn't know I was going to get it, but I did. And I am having a blast with it. Specifically, Matt, I remember when you played 23, you got into the GM mode.
Oh yeah,
they've upgraded the GM mode quite a bit, and I love everything they've added. Oh. I am so hooked on that mode. They've added trades at the end of a pay per view. So every time you do a PLE, you can do trades now with the other shows, and that's a lot of fun. It allows you to mix up the process a little bit more, even. They've simplified some things. The menus look better. Like, I'm just really into that mode a lot. I'm through season one. I'm like halfway through season two already of my run. And it's man, I'm just having a total blast. And that's with some nights not like last night, I didn't get home till super late, so I had no time to play. Yeah. I've only had it for a couple of days, but I'm having a really good time with it. I also see on your list, I did play with David Ghostbusters Spirit Unleashed the other night for a couple of rounds in preparation for seeing the new movie. So I want to know, man, what are you thinking about that game?
Yeah, man, I've been playing that game. I got it on rental and I had it for about a week or so. And then where it was in the very kind of nondescript grey packaging, I'm looking at it right now, that these games coming from the rental, I just totally forgot about it. It was just sitting on my side. I was like, oh crap, I've installed it when it turned up. I haven't played it. So I had a little go. So I once I got past the opening tutorial, I was having fun with it. I played a few games. I don't know who with, but it was just trying to get used to the mechanics of it. And I kept throwing the trap out by mistake, because I think that particular controller, I was used to using it for something else, for a different game, like to zoom in or something. I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I keep throwing the trap and I'm not meant to do that. But I eventually got it. And I remember you saying that it feels like a proton pack. You know, you do kind of feel like the push and pull. And I did feel that an awful lot when you bust those ghosts and you've got them in the proton pack, when you've got them in the stream, it does feel like a tussle to get them where you need to be. And not because it's bad mechanics of the gameplay, it's intentionally designed like that, and it's very, very fun. But no, yeah, I was meant to say to you, and I'll say it on air, we've got to get on there soon, we've got to bust some ghosts, man. My guy doesn't really look like me, but I did the best I could. But yes, we need to get, I think the Bamp boys need to bust some ghosts. Busting will make us feel good.
Yeah, Matt would also, David would like to play also if possible.
Absolutely, yeah. Time difference be damned. I'm a night owl anyway. Yeah. And it's from what I've played, it's the kind of fun game where it's an online game. So you can jump on for half an hour, you can jump off for an hour, have a good time, jump off again and get on with your day, or you can jump on all night. It's one of those cool games. I love games like that, very much like that kind of Fortnite or Battlefront style, where you dip in and out as you want, and I quite enjoy that. So yes, we'll absolutely have to get that sorted out, because I think I'd enjoy it even more as a shared experience, collaborative experience. And you know, you guys out there want to see the BAMP guys, and David, you want to see us bust some ghosts. Come on, I want to feel proud as I see JB getting that ghost in the trap, man. So yeah, very much enjoyed that. I need to play a bit more, so let's get that sorted out. And 2K24, I'm pleased to hear that, because I would like to. That might be the next game I rent. And yeah, the GM mode, it's one of those modes where I hadn't played the 2K games for. Well, I just hadn't played them. I've played FIFA and EA Sports FC, whatever it's called now. And similar to maybe like Madden and NHL, they are very much the same game each year. You don't really get anything different, and the focus is on like the ultimate team, what you play and pay for.
Yeah,
but
yep.
Whereas there is that element in 2K24, and from what I've heard, you know, the modes are all there, apart from you get the WrestleMania mode and you got some new matches, which is necessary.
The WrestleMania mode's cool too.
That's, oh man, I wouldn't, the nostalgia in that must be wild. But you've got, obviously you've got the My Rise, you've got the Universe, you've got My GM, so you've got those are the things that would keep me going back for more. The fact that you can play My GM and then after a couple of seasons, you can always just switch back, change faction and go again. And it's always going to be different. That's what I like, where I play something like EA Sports FC. I love football, but you know, you play a season of footy and then, you know, when the same season, the next season's the same and same and same. Whereas obviously 2K24, you are crafting the storyline. You are the kayfabe maker, and it's an awful lot of fun. So I would like to get that again soon and make the Bamp boys again, because we are the inaugural BAMP tag team champions on my old 2K23. And we did quite look like each other as well. I think did I send you the video of
our tag team? Yeah.
Yeah. It looked quite good as well, actually. Now, what have I been checking out other than Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed? Sorry. I say Spirited Away. I didn't get a chance to see Frozen Empire. I haven't really known of any UK screenings as of yet. And then not showing it until Friday over here in the UK. As of now, I am seeing it on Saturday night with my kid. We're going to see it together. So I will be we'll be talking about that next week. But so that was the film I mentioned up top, that JB saw a big film that had I seen, we probably would have spoken about that this week, but we didn't. I saw a film that came out this week that if JB was able to see at South by Southwest, that maybe we would have spoken about that. But he's going to see it tonight or tomorrow, and it's just the way things work out. I saw Immaculate, the Sydney Sweeney-led religious horror film, which came out. I saw an unlimited screening because of my membership. It doesn't come out until the end of the week here. But it's directed by Michael Mohan. It's a Neon distributed film. American nun embarks on a new journey when she joins a remote convent in the Italian countryside. However, her warm welcome quickly turns to a living nightmare when she discovers a new home harbors a sinister secret. Blah, 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 blah. I think I text John. I said that this film ripped. It was so fun. Is it a great like masterpiece? No, it's not. But it leans into a fun side of it. It has some creepy moments. It has the tension, but boy does it embrace its gonzo side. It isn't afraid to go there and just embrace it. The finale embraces that gonzo. It leans into that French New Wave horror movement a little bit. It's a shocking ending for a Hollywood film as well. I mean, that's not to give anything away, but that's what the film seems to be getting a lot of traction about. Is man, it builds and builds and builds. I think Sydney Sweeney is very good in the main role. Her initially kind of a little bit on shaky ground, I think, with her in the film, but the more she grows into this film after about 15 minutes or so, I think she's great, and I think she really throws herself full-bodied into this film. She really goes for it, and I think she's really very good in this film. And yeah, it's a film where I think my enjoyment is I project my enjoyment onto my overall experience, my rating, if you will, than maybe the film, how the film itself did. It's probably a really decent 7 out of 10 film, but man, I think I'd stuck it as a 4.5 on Letterboxd because I just had fun watching it. It's not a funny film. You know, there's a gag or two here and there, but I know what it is. Maybe it's just because we've had to watch Night Swim and Imaginary and crap Five Nights at Freddy's. It's just nice to get a film where it knows what it is. It goes with it. It leans into the wacky side. It leans into the gore as well. And yeah, it's an hour and a half as well. It's an hour and a half. It blasts through. Very much enjoyed Immaculate. Now, I went a bit longer on that film because it's the only film I've seen this week other than Irish Wish. Been a busy old weekend, or I've had a headache, or I've been playing Ghostbusters. So I haven't watched any other films, but I've been watching, listening to Dead Meat on YouTube, Double Toasted, my guys over there, and YouTuber Cody Leach is a horror YouTuber. I've been watching his tier lists he does. I do enjoy that. It's all about horror. So his favourite horror films, his favourite horror sequels, threequels, fourquels, fivequels, all this kind of stuff. I'm a sucker for a list. So I've been watching those. And that's probably what I spend most of my time watching. I mentioned the most moist blueberry cake you'll ever have. I watch YouTube sometimes. I just stick that on and just let it run. I watched the new Acolyte trailer for the new Star Wars series that comes out in June. Really like the look of that. Obviously, the Bad Batch dropped today as well, Star Wars. Had fun with that. Of course, I'm going to. And that's really about it. But Immaculate, I really did like. I hope you like it, John, or I hope you at least enjoy it.
I hope so. I'm excited to see it now. A lot of people giving positive buzz.
Yeah, I mean, and Tuna did as well. I've seen other people who have said other things, and I do also think maybe your enjoyment may also depend on your faith leanings and all that kind of stuff as well. But hey, look, I enjoyed it, and I also hope to watch Frozen Empire this weekend. I too don't like the title. I said to John, ad nauseum, all I want is it to be good. Is that a high bar? No, but I love Ghostbusters so much. I just want it to be okay. I just want it to be good. Just don't be really bad. We'll see next week if John thinks that. We'll see next week if I think that. Disappointment Media, check out John's review if you want to see his thoughts early. Now, we've been talking about a lot of bloody awful stuff today. Bloody awful streaming movies, Irish Wish, and other stuff. But we're now going to end the show, as we always do, by telling you how we've been staying bloody awesome this week in order to bring you the bloody awesome movie podcast. John, I'm a little bit worried by the title of yours. How have you been staying bloody awesome?
Yeah, I don't know if this really meets the criteria of bloody awesome, but I don't know if you, do you ever have those days where like you just kind of wake up and you're like, what am I freaking doing? And today was that day for me. I was severely overwhelmed, feeling extremely existential. Like, what am I even doing? And then like little things kept happening. Were like, I'm just looking like, are you for real though? Like that's what I have to now deal with. I have to address this thing. And, makes the day hard to like get things done because it's like, you're like, well, why even, what's the point if, you know, but I think where it is the bloody awesome part is you talk to the people that you trust when you're feeling that way, right? Like you talk to people, you mm-hmm. let them, you know, and, they can help the spinning stop. And, you know, so in that way, it's bloody awesome, right? Like, you know, there are people out there who one are also going through that kind of thing frequently, especially now. I feel like it happens way more often now, or at least maybe mm-hmm. we're more willing to talk about it now than we used to be. And today was one of those days though, where I was feeling really like, what am I doing? What's the point of all of this? And, not in like a death way, like in a, like I need to make changes or I've made some bad decisions or whatever, you know, like I wish I wasn't in this specific situation right now. And some of it is because I have deadlines coming up for I think I've mentioned on the podcast I'm going for my doctorate, so I have some big stuff coming up where I'm like kind of stressed out about it. So like it's one of those things where I'm hitting that level of like I need to do it but I don't really want to do it, so like what do I do? Because like that, you know, that the desire to do it is there because I don't want to not do it, and then that feeling of like, but I really don't want to do it right now. So there's this like spinning of stress. Like if I don't do it, then it's going to make it harder to do it later, but that's for later me to deal with, you know, like I don't have to deal with it right now. So, yeah, that was this morning. And so that's what I couldn't think of anything else. I'm like, I'm just going to say spiraling. But well, yeah, how about you, my friend?
Well, talking is important. I'd be say that to everybody out there, male, female, or whatever. Talking is important. Always talk to somebody. Cause if you don't, things aren't going to get better. But no, I know, I felt exactly the same today. This morning was just down in the dumps. And it's one of those, because sometimes you can't quite put your finger on what it is. And that's okay as well. Somebody will say, what's up? And you say, I just don't know. I don't know. It just isn't right today. And that's also okay as well. But hopefully tonight's film or whenever are you seeing Immaculate tonight, John?
No, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Well, hopefully that is Immaculate. And stops that spiral. Otherwise, get on Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed later and bust some ghost JB, and that'll make you feel infinitely better. But mine is almost a byproduct as well. Mine is, it says viewing, because mm-hmm. Without peeking behind the curtain too much, I'm at a stage now where I'm looking to up sticks and move to a new abode, move to a new place. And what I never like about doing that is the actual having to do that-ness of it, which is the searching for the right place, the viewing, the have I got enough money, the getting to the viewing, realizing that the place you've just seen is actually a terrible, walking in and saying without any irony, where's the rest of it, and then realizing you've just made a journey for nothing. But it's all going to lead to a great conclusion at some point. Have a new place, a new dad pad, which I'm very much looking forward to, because I think the opportunities that will come from that will be great, including for this show. But yeah, I've got more this weekend as well. But that's what I was doing this Saturday, as well as seeing my kid. Viewing same this weekend. It's just stress of it all, because I'm very much a creature who just likes to get things done. You know what I mean? I just want to wake up. I like the look of that place. Here's the money. Can I move into one? That's it. I don't, the rigmarole of all the rest of it is just, it's stressful when it's not something I could do without, but everybody has to go through it. So it's my turn. But yeah, the destination in this case is what's going to be fun. Regardless, it's not a rom-com. This is where the journey is a fun part. The destination is the fun part. Very much, very excited for the future. It's not going to be too long now. I'm just worried where I'm going to put all of my Star Wars tats and all of my film tats as well. I've got so many posters that I've bought over the years. I'm like, oh, that would look good on a wall somewhere. And realizing that I've got far too many, I'm never going to be able to put them all up. What the hell am I doing? But they are good posters. Not all The Exorcist. I got a nice Spirited Away one as well, a really nice one to go. But we'll see if I can make room for that. But yeah, viewing is how I've been staying bloody awesome. An eye to the future.
Hey, that's exciting. I'm looking forward to what you find, man.
It is. And when John goes to Ireland, whether it's by himself or with his family, I'll be joining you. And you can come lodge. Might not be enough room, but we'll make it work. Because I've never been to Ireland either. I'd very much like to go to Ireland, even though it's...
Really?
It's true. It's like, I guess it's like Cuba for you. I don't know. It's just across the water. That's a guess. It is just across the pond for me. It is literally.
For a long time, we literally couldn't go to Cuba.
That's a great. Maybe wasn't the best. I say that. England and Ireland, it also has a very, very similar past as well, actually. So, very bloody past. Ireland, if I hopped on a plane now, I could be in Shannon International or Dublin 40 minutes. It's really not long. But, I'd like to go to Ireland and also kind of to the places where we see in the film tonight, like Irish Wish. I'd like to go and see that. You know, I don't see Dublin and all that. Go to the Guinness factory, the real one. I want to see that kind of Ireland, though, the far away stuff like that and experience the beauty. But anyway, that is a tangent. I said we got off on tangents. I have just done it. And I'm going to tell you now that we're going to finish the show. We're done. We are at the end. You know what we're covering next week, but I'm going to tell you again, Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. Anyone who listened to our Afterlife review knows that we very much enjoyed that film. We are Ghostbusters fans and we have been since kids. But we don't want to let that blinker our view of the film. If Frozen Empire is bad, John will say. If I think it's bad, I will say, I just hope it isn't. But we're going to be talking about that next week. In the meantime, though, we'd love to hear from you about Irish Wish, Ghostbusters, Immaculate, or any films that we've spoken about, or just film in general. Follow us on social media on X at BAMP_podcast, BAMP_podcast. John, where are we on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok?
We're at Bloody Awesome Movie Pod.
And on Facebook, just search Bloody Awesome Movie Podcast and you'll find us there. You'll also find our reviews on the Tomato Meter. We are Rotten Tomatoes approved podcast. So keep your eyes out soon, because our words will be on there for Irish Wish. I'm not entirely sure we're going to be boosting that quite low score, but we'll be on there nonetheless. If you want to talk films with me, you can do whatiwatchtonight.co.uk and just search What I Watch Tonight across all of the socials and Letterboxd as well. John, where in the world are you?
I'm at burkereviews.com and at burkereviews on all the social media platforms.
Yes, sir. And of course, Disappointment Media as well, where John is a contributory writer there as well. Check that out. If you like what we're doing here, and we sure hope you do, we've been doing it for a long time. We enjoy doing it. Please do leave us a 5-star rating and review on your podcast provider of choice. It's very quick. It's very easy to do now. And we'd appreciate it more than you can imagine. 5 stars. It helps the show grow. It gets more listeners in. And we get to hear from more film fans each and every week as a result. But with that, as always, stay bloody awesome.
And keep watching movies.
Blood, 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 bloody, blood, 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 bloody.